Today's episode is brought to you by LedgerGurus, your partner in mastering cost of goods sold and inventory accounting. Do you trust your cost of goods sold number? At LedgerGurus, we specialize in helping e-commerce businesses bridge the gap between inventory operations and accurate financials, giving you numbers you can trust so you can make data-driven decisions. Head over to LedgerGurus.com and learn how we can help you take control of your inventory and numbers today. That's LedgerGurus.com.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Finance Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Brown, COO at LedgerGurus. In this episode, I have Scott Scharf with me to discuss best practices in selecting an inventory management system. Scott, good to have you on.
Hey, great to see you, Stephen.
We've known each other. I was thinking about it before this episode. I think we met in 2017 or 18. I think it was 17.
17, I think.
Yeah. We've known each other a long time, and you are a master of many things, and inventory management is one that I think you have a deep knowledge on. And maybe give us a little bit of background about yourself before we get started.
Yeah, well, so I'm a longtime IT geek and went up all the way to the global multinational, you know, senior product manager route. But I was an entrepreneur at heart, and my wife is an accountant, just like Stevens is. And we started the first e-commerce accounting firm, Catching Clouds, in 2011. And then had a lovely dinner at a conference somewhere in the country, Boston, somewhere, Chicago, somewhere, with Brittany and Steven. And they talked about being, you know, what they were going to do. And they've launched LedgerGurus. But I'm a tech geek. But really, my focus is just helping entrepreneurs have amazing businesses. So in Catching Clouds, the main deliverables were detailed, accurate financials. But my favorite part of doing Catching Clouds, one of my favorite parts, was coaching the entrepreneurs for these e-commerce businesses and helping them solve business challenges. So about 2 years ago, I left doing accounting stuff with my wife and I started doing e-commerce business optimization. And I just really enjoy helping entrepreneurs just have amazing businesses. And I just focus on the boring back office stuff. And because of my long-term IT background, I'm really good at evaluating software and putting together project plans and just kind of providing perspective, but it's all about helping people make the right decisions for where their businesses are right now and where they're going.
And if you're watching this by some chance, you'll see that our nerd force is strong. We yes. Both love sci-fi, Legos, you know, our backdrops are, you know, Scott and I could probably have a sci-fi podcast if we wanted to.
We could.
He'd probably go deeper than I would, though. His depth is, as is in the case with inventory management, is much deeper than mine. But we have a mutual appreciation of a lot of the same things. All right. So I want to talk about, you know, this is the finance podcast, and inventory management is often seen as an operational thing. But the reason I wanted to talk about this is inventory is the biggest asset in most consumer products businesses, bigger than cash a lot of times. It is the core of the business, and it's also oftentimes the biggest mess of a lot of smaller brands and even bigger brands. So maybe I want to just share some kind of stories of what we've seen amongst brands small and big when you go to talk to them, and then maybe I'll share my stories of what we've seen when we go to talk to them. What are you seeing in terms of inventory management when you talk to a lot of companies?
I see a lot of challenges. I mean, everything from people waiting too long to where they can't scale their business, and they're doing amazing things and running their unique businesses in spreadsheets that adapt to their business. But there's a certain point where it kind of implodes and it actually impedes them. And it takes more and more effort as you either go faster or get bigger or do whatever else. For people that e-commerce entrepreneurs are amazing. Okay. Most of them have kind of entrepreneurial ADD like I do, you know, shiny object, whatever, but they only have so much time to play whack-a-mole with different things. And then they go, oh, I'm going to look at this technology, and they do a bunch of demos and then they pick the wrong one. And I had a seller that dropped $80,000 for a whole year for Bright Pearl, and Bright Pearl is good for certain businesses, but it fundamentally didn't support the way they did their business. And after 5 months, they killed it off and had to start all over. Okay. And so, and then there's just a whole range of other challenges, you know, self-implementing. It is not like a mobile app or other things. This is something you want someone with expertise to implement fully and take the time. You want to take the right amount of time and have right the expectations. What other challenges? Either not connecting it to the accounting or connecting it to the accounting are both issues. For the 12 years I ran Catching Clouds, I wouldn't let a single inventory management tool connect directly to Xero. Okay. Because they pushed too much information, the wrong information, and corrupted the financials and made it harder to close the financials, where an air gap gave us a very technical accountants, just same as your team, the ability to control what flowed over and validate things. Now, there are now, in the last few years, tools that are better that can limit and control the data they flow over. But that whole, I'm going to integrate everything, can make things better faster, but it can also make things worse faster. So, I mean, and then, you know, the one person that knows the tool never documented standard operating procedures or training, and then that person moves on to another job because people do, and then the next person picks it up. Or one person uses it one way, then another person uses it the other way. And then the owner comes in and changes it and does it a different way. And nobody talks to each other. And then the data, both in the system for what's in stock, is wrong. Or the data that flows over the accountants is untrustworthy or unknown. And there's just this consistent thread of it's a pretty serious decision. It's a pretty big investment in the business, and it can make things better, because an e-commerce business is a fulfillment business. Okay. Even if you're dropship, you need dropship automation. Okay. But you're also an IT business. You can have dozens and dozens of applications in your business. You're a marketing business. Okay. And then you're a product business and all the other things everybody thinks, but like, you're a fulfillment business, and this is an area to really focus. And if you get it wrong, it really can trip you up, and it is significantly harder. I'd probably say 10 times harder than it was in 2011. 2011, when in the first few years, was wild, wild west. You could buy a bunch of inventory and turn it over, and it'd sell really fast. And there was less technology support, but there wasn't the same, you know, it's not the same. You need to be really much more focused and aware and have kind of a plan on what you're doing than just wing it. You get started that way and you get going really, really fast. That's great. But there's a certain point where you need to evolve your business, both keep it simple and evolve the infrastructure that's supporting it.
Yeah. And I'll see a lot of the same parallels. Everybody's got their inventory spreadsheet at first. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's kind of like almost guaranteed that somebody at some point has an inventory spreadsheet very, very quickly. And then that breaks down pretty quickly. And it gets even worse if you have a warehouse. One of the biggest issues that we've seen around inventory management, if they do have an inventory management system, is they only look at it for operations. And sometimes they don't even look at it for all the operations. So they'll be like, oh, I like it for ordering. Or I'm just going to use it for order fulfillment. And then when you get into translating that into financial information, it's like the data is garbage. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you probably have a hard number, but there's like a bunch of processes around inventory, ordering, shipping, receiving, fulfilling, returns, or taking stock out for marketing or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's all these little processes. And if you don't do all of them, your data gets off. And so people are like, why is my cost of goods sold bad? Or why is my inventory bad? It's like, well, if you're not accounting for all of those things, then those are operational processes. Those aren't something you can give to the finance and accounting team because they're not in the warehouse. And so what we've seen over the years is, even when people implement a system, they don't do all those processes. They'll get some marginal operational value.
Yeah.
But if they're not doing everything around the inventory, the financial value of what's going on is a mess.
Yeah, I agree. There's an extra 10% more effort to do, because most people, I'm going to create a purchase order and it's 6 steps. No, it's 12 steps or 18 steps. But that other piece takes 10 percent longer. And you're not teaching ops people to do accounting. You're just having them check a few more boxes and do a few more very standard steps that shouldn't be automated. I mean, I'm always looking for automations and zaps and ways to, you know, automate and reduce the number of steps of humans jumping in and out of applications or doing any data entry. But if they know that whole process, those extra four steps that somebody does, and you make sure that the owner or whoever holds somebody accountable to doing those consistently, your costs are better, which is the foundation of all the financials and analytics and net profit and all those other things you need to know. Okay. And then the data is available and better for what's in stocks. You don't oversell stuff that impacts you. And if you don't have accurate costs, you could be pricing your products all wrong. Okay. You could think your gross margin's 68% and it's 42%. Okay. Like, and then you could be selling at a loss all day long and you're just not going to make it up on volume. But then those last couple steps, they go, oh, those are accounting steps. Shouldn't the accountant do that? I'm like, no, because the accountants across the country. We're almost all virtual. Even accountants that are in the same building aren't there doing the work. And if that one person takes honestly 30 seconds or 2 minutes to do, or 5 seconds more to do a few more steps, it closes the loop. And that you have, it's data hygiene and all these other back-end things. But if you follow the whole process and just do and follow it through, then it becomes a habit and then people consistently do it. And they might go, I don't know why I do these extra four steps. It doesn't matter as long as they keep doing them. Then the data is better inside that system. Then you can get better dashboards and analytics and KPIs for the owner to make a decision on a real-time basis. And then the accountants, better data flows into accounting.
So we could go down that path, but what we really want to go down here is how to select an inventory management system. And I think as we talk about this, we'll talk about best practices. But you've been doing a lot of this with consumer products businesses. So let's go in. When you're meeting with somebody and helping them choose which inventory management system they should use, to walk us through your methodology.
Yeah. The first thing is stop. The very first thing is stop. Okay. Don't ask your peers or friends, even if you're part of amazing forums that I'm part of. Don't go demo products. Don't go ask Perplexity to build you a table comparing them. Okay. Which I love doing all the time now for a whole bunch of stuff. Okay. Just stop. Okay. Write down, literally write it down. Okay. It can be in a Google Sheet. It can be a Word doc, maybe not on paper. The good things that you want to have happen, the bad things you don't want to have happen, the bad tools you've used in the past or whatever, okay? And what are your core requirements? Oh, it has to support Amazon. Oh, but it has to support Amazon and multiple ASINs, okay? Oh, it has to support Amazon, multiple ASINs, and Amazon's new virtual bundles that you can do, okay? Like, you've got to, like, go down, like, and then you have to interview everybody on your team, including your offshore team, to go, what do you need? What are you wasting your time? What don't we know? And don't worry about technical stuff. Just write down your business requirements. Okay. That alone, before you do demo, will focus your demos. Okay. And then instead of just going through and letting the vendors do a canned demo, let them do a little overview and show you the highlights and blah, blah, blah. And then say, show me your purchase order process. Show me how I do a stock take. Like, have them dive all the way down into the weeds and show me, like, look, even if we have to do a whole nother meeting, show me how we do purchase orders. Okay. Like it, but if you can write those down and then prioritize them. Okay. And maybe even put like a priority and say, oh, these are the things. And then make sure you ask about those things. That alone will save you time. Otherwise, I see people and I've talked to them and they've demoed 12 apps with their whole team, so half their time or whatever, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and they remember the last one they demoed.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this is so huge. Like, I think the challenge here is there's a lot of options. Like, you've got some comparisons. This isn't like your sales platform. Am I going to go Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce? You know, there's some others. And most of the times it's Shopify, right? There are over a dozen, you know, I don't know how many you've reviewed, Scott, but like there 60. Are...
I've got 60 current ones, maybe 20 core ones. And it my comparison matrix 300 fields deep. So
And they all, you know, you could take, let's take those 20 core ones. They're going to be good fits in different situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so this is a methodology that I 100% agree with, is understanding what it is that you're buying. Because for a lot of categories, it's really easy to just be like, hey, what's good? And people say, this is good. And the market is generally right. But what we've seen over the years is there's a ton of solutions. And that's partly because we haven't seen real consolidation, but also because every business is very different in this front. Mm-hmm. And understanding what your needs are really dictates which solutions you should even be evaluating.
Yeah. And you know your business better than anybody else. Okay. The founder, you know the ins and outs. You've probably worn every hat in the business. Okay. And you really need to do it. But before you start the first demo, you need a comparison sheet of product A, you know, all the features, and then product A and product B. And whether you give it a number and a weight, and I've got a spreadsheet that does this that I almost never use, but I've got one that if someone's like, I can't decide. And keep in mind that the wrong product will cost you a ton of money in efficiency and learning curve and everything else. So don't look just at the price. Price can be on there. Okay, you want to compare that, and just put them side by side and do the demo and take notes and then get everyone's feedback and talk about it and just make it a little mini process. And I'd also say that unless you absolutely can't find something of the core ones anybody tells you about, then I'll probably avoid saying any names on this call, even though I already said one, is just pick a short number. And this doesn't have to be exhaustive like what I go through. I talk to an existing or new provider almost every week, and I do a deep dive into a specific area, their manufacturing or how they do accounting or how they do drop shipping or what are their new AI features or whatever else. But you just want to focus on those key things that it does for you and your business. But don't forget the accounting. No matter what, you may not want to talk about accounting. Most entrepreneurs don't. Okay. Most people didn't marry accountants like we did. But like, just pick a few and say, we're going to spend this much time. So even just, I'm all for action and going for it, which a lot of entrepreneurs do, and you can make there, but just pause, prepare, block out a certain amount and do it, and either make a decision or add another batch, but just don't keep doing it. There's a certain point where you got to make a decision.
Yeah. Well, and you refer to a technique. Our first director of operations at Ledger Gurus, she had a spreadsheet template that we used for system decisions, like what you described, where you had the requirements and you had a ranking.
Yep.
And it was invaluable. There was literally only one. When we were rolling out systems, and I've lost track of how many we use internally, there was only one where I felt like we made a bad mistake. And that's because it was a company that I knew, and I knew some people over there, and they said, yeah, we're going to get X, Y, and Z. And they didn't. But when we went objectively off of building our requirements, rating them, and you could do a lot of that. We would short select systems. We still do when we do. We'll short select systems without even having a demo. We'll just go and look at, you know, their documentation and their and stuff, and we'll be like, okay, this one looks like it's got what we need. Because demos and evaluations take time.
Yeah.
And so that's a really great methodology just to shorten the amount of time you're spending trying to figure out what you want.
Yeah. And then when you get down to a couple, compare them and then build a budget, because it's not just the SaaS price. Okay. And it could be more than you're spending for any other tool other than marketing. So no matter what, you're going to cannibalize your marketing spend, because every time you spend less money on marketing, the more profitable and better your business is. Okay. I'm sorry. Everything's crazy. Hire your kids or whatever else to do social commerce, and just don't burn up money on marketing. Anything you take away makes you a stronger business. So just behind the scenes, that's just general advice. But it's not just the SaaS cost, okay? So you want to look, is the SaaS cost, okay? Then what is the support cost? What else do you have to do? One of my key things in the costs and my recommendations is some of the apps have their own. Don't ever expect to self-implement one of these tools. Just don't do it. You are throwing whatever time you put in and everything else. You are either going to pay for the medium or the full implementation. If the only real option is that vendor does their own implementation, and some of them do that very well, and they have very few external consultants, or the ones that have external partners, you want to pay for one of those external partners. These are people that are doing maybe two or three-ish a month, and all they do is sit down with a new seller, either online or go on site to your warehouse if that's something you want. That it is more important to pick the right implementer than the right tool. Okay, flat out. And include that cost. And you are looking $2,000 to $5,000-ish for the internal implementation. Okay. And sometimes free. And sometimes it's worth it, even though, you know, be concerned about what you pay for. Then you're looking at five non-complex, not manufacturing, probably $5,000 to $15,000. Okay. A lot of what I do is I give people practical guidelines that this is going to take X number of months. And here's a transformational budget. Here's all the costs in year one. And here's what it'll cost you ongoing in year two. Because I catch sellers that are spending $50,000 for something they should spend $5,000 for, or something that's critical to their business like this, or building a custom database for product information management or some of these other things. And they should be spending, let's say, $40,000 on it. They spend $5,000 and it fails, and $5,000and it fails, and they spend $10,000 and it fails again. And you can't add those failures up. Okay. Yeah. Money goes away. So you want to take a look at that and budget for that. And then you have to look, do we have to change our other tools or do other integrations? And even if the tool's perfect, what other tools do you need that you're not using? Or how does it talk to your current base? You want to look at all of those things. The other thing that I highly recommend budgeting for, unless you're a rare e-commerce business that's twiddling their thumbs, okay, and that you have lots of free time, but everybody's pretty busy doing all the things, and it's why you're implementing new audit technology to speed it up. Expect to hire, I would probably say, no matter what size business you are, two offshore resources that will back up your team during the transition. Okay, do not ask your team that's already working 40 hours a week, okay, to add another 5, 10, 20 hours a week of focused time to change how they're doing. They're humans. They're like used to doing things a certain way. Now you're forcing this change. Back them up. Have one person do take over part of people's jobs so they have time to focus on this new thing. Okay. Or have somebody help with kind of data entry and maybe kind of running the system because they're already used to creating a purchase order in this new system while the other people are getting used to it. That to me, that like, pay for external implementation and hire it. Keep in mind, when you do this, you could throw the fish back when you're done. But I would say if you bring on two or three people, you'll probably keep one to all three of them. Because what you'll realize is that you didn't have enough capacity in your business and that you've implemented this new tool that allows you to grow your business and that your current team learns more and adapts. They become more valuable. And you assign some of the lower end work that's still there to these other people. So but you want a budget for that. And we're talking hundreds more per month. And there are a range. I've got a whole, I've got a comparison thing of like 40 different offshore companies that show all the different services they provide to bring that in. So external implementation is more important, including if they do their own implementation, ask to interview one of their implementers. You may not get that person because they might be busy, but interview the implementer. And if they can't answer your questions about shipping or how to configure a ship station or can talk the talk or understand how FBA works and have no idea about FBA reimbursements or whatever else, then go, okay, we're not working with that implementer. Introduce us to somebody else.
Let me ask you a question and then I want to get back onto the process. So what time frame expectation should a company have around implementing an inventory management system?
You should plan 2 to 3 weeks, 2 to 4 weeks to research, demo, and make a decision. Okay.
And that's if you're super focused.
If you're focused. Well, I understand how busy e-commerce entrepreneurs are. Okay. You've got families, you've got lives, you're buying products, stuff gets stuck on boats, like that. Everything happens. You're just playing whack-a-mole. Okay. So that's 2 to 4 hours a week for a couple weeks and then make a decision. Okay. So like it's just, but it's going to take some focus time, plan on blocking that time out and, you know, pulling that together from the time you sign. Most companies, and if you find the implementer, can start within a week or two. So you're talking about a 4 to 6 weeks from the time you say go. Okay. most inventory management, even for million-dollar businesses up to whatever without manufacturing, you're looking at a solid 4 to 6 weeks for the base implementation, okay? A lot of the data can be connected and pulled in and you'll go, wow, we're almost there in the first few days and week and it's pulling in all the data from Amazon and Shopify and whatever. Wow, okay, that's great. That's the first step, okay? Now you've got to spend a few days going through validating your costs. Then you've got to do an actual physical count one weekend and lock in, here's the current reality. Then you've got to go through purchasing. Then you've got to go through ordering. Then you've got to go through receiving. Then you've got to go through reporting. And like, it takes time. And then there are going to be changes to how you do things or integration to things along those lines. So 4 to 6 weeks, and you've got the basics and you're using it and people have gone through some basic training and had the time to go through that. Then you're looking at another, without manufacturing, another, just add an extra 4 to 6 weeks if you're doing manufacturing. Okay, it just takes long, like 3 to 4 months. But I would say usually for a fairly simple business, your own warehouse, you're looking at about a month or so for the initial setup. And then a month where you're hand-holding and you're running it in parallel and you're doing two different systems. And this is where you want those VAs or people helping, okay? If you have your own warehouse, bring in somebody else, train them, tell them you're working for 2 weeks, 4 weeks or whatever, and they're going to help ship stuff while you're doing things and double-checking everything, okay? At the end of that month, and you want to be just clear, don't hold these things in. One of the biggest problems I see and the biggest failures for these systems is people don't speak up and complain. You have to let everybody know at the end of every day, what went well? What did you like? Good. We want to know about that too. What didn't you like? I don't like this UI. It's 82 clicks. It takes me 5 minutes to do something I could do in 30 seconds before. Okay. Like you have to be providing that feedback both to your implementer and always be in the habit of complaining to the vendor. I don't like this feature. It didn't work. There's something wrong. Speak up loudly. Okay. And just have a way of tracking those. But at the end of 2 months for a general business with your own warehouse, it should be functional. You're going to have another month of getting used to it. And then somewhere, usually after 2 months, 3 months, then there's an extra step of connecting it to the accounting. Do not connect it to the accounting until you've gone through all of it. And do not go connect to the accounting without your accountant involved. Okay. Because if you corrupt the financials, they're going to charge you to clean them up. All right. So in general, you're looking at 2 to 3 months from the time you start the implementation for it to be live. And then a couple more months until you're feeling like it's really comfortable. Okay. And then you'll identify a few things and you can start doing optimizations. Don't go back. Don't be ready to throw the fish back. But within 2 months, you're humming along. Okay. 3 months it's cranking, and then you're evolving and getting used to it. And then maybe set a thing at once a quarter or 6 months to stop and go, what do we think? What do we need to fix? What's missing? Can we had those things that we kind of put off to the side that we're not doing yet, like demand planning or some other things. Are we ready to add more to it? So that's general flow.
And then one of the biggest issues I've seen with timelines is there's going to be a lot of requests. Like you can't just throw this over the wall to an implementer and say, hey, build this. Like they're going to need a lot of information from usually multiple people within the organization. And usually when those timelines stretch, and I see it all the time, it's when you're not putting time to respond to the implementer because they need information. And when they don't get that information, that timeline just extends.
Yeah. And in my projects, while I'm helping them make the decisions and building those requirements and guiding somebody through this stuff, like I've got a new personal trainer starting tomorrow morning. So I like working out. I'm pretty good at working out. Most of my workouts are pretty lame. So I'm paying somebody to make me do it better. Okay. But during that collection, I'm reviewing costs and cost of goods sold and looking and assembling all that data so I can hand it over to an implementer when they get started. But that is absolutely right. You need to dedicate somebody there. Another key thing, I don't even think I have it on the list here that we've been going back and forth on. If you are an e-commerce entrepreneur and you're running your business and you maybe have a couple people in the warehouse that are mostly employees, okay? And you have some contractors and some offshore people doing stuff, okay? It, you've got to be over $1 million business, okay? But if you're, if you do not have somebody that is an operations manager, okay, that is, you know, we're not talking a COO, chief operating officer, or a VP or a director that gets paid a stupid amount of money. If you don't have somebody that's an operations manager, and if you speak entrepreneurial operating system, EOS, and integrator before, and this is one of the key recommendations I make, you need to hire this person either before or while you're implementing this new tool, because you need somebody to own it. I don't care if you're a techie. I don't care if you're a developer. I don't care if, you know, you can't add on. This is where you're delegating operational responsibility. You need someone that their main job is to focus on this while you're working on the business, new products, marketing, other external stuff. So don't think that, oh, I'm really tech savvy. Do you really have an extra 5 or 10 hours a week to dedicate to this? And you can get somebody part-time, but yeah, probably in the list, I didn't have it on there. That's another key piece. If you don't have somebody to own this and run this, that's an employee, and there are some amazing offshore resources or whatever else, and you can consider them and you can lock them in longer or whatever else. But if you don't make that change, it's going to fail. I've gone into people that have bought e-commerce businesses that haven't had that person. And I'm like, I could give you the perfect tech stack that could grow your business from 10 million to 50 million and whatever. If you don't have that person that owns and responsible for operations, that you delegate this, that manages that tool, that opens up support tickets, that is the internal person's creating both process around it and enforcing it and training your internal team on top of other resources and bringing outside consultants, it'll fail.
When should a business consider an inventory management system, right? I think there is a place for the spreadsheets, but when do you say, hey, you really need a system? Is there a, do you see it based on the revenue, or how do you usually kind of go through that equation?
I mean, in general, somewhere between 1 and 3 million, you have enough volume going on. It's really when you start to feel pain.
Yeah.
When you as the founder can't ask questions, okay, about your business and you don't know. What do we have in stock? I don't know. What are our costs or our margins? I don't know. And then every time you go to do it, it's an all weekend project away from the family or sleep or basketball or fishing or whatever else. When you hit that enough, and you know, and it's if your spreadsheets, even if you're a, you know, even if you're an app script person or you're doing all kinds of cool stuff and you've got Zaps built and all these other things, if you spend another day or weekend or hour cleaning that up and you're feeling the pain, it's when you feel the pain. And if you're like, and you have to step, is this a hobby or is this really a business? Are you going to build this business? Do you want it to work and support your lifestyle? Do you want it to grow so that you can exit and sell in X number of years? If you're at those points, either pain, volume, or you have a bunch of people quitting, but if you're feeling pain because you're trying to push humans to do stuff that can be automated where technology is supporting them, it's really kind of that piece. But it's also there, really, it's what do you want? What do you want with the business? Okay. And if you want it to run better and be more profitable, yes, you have to pay for some additional overhead, but that it's really that piece. What are your intentions for the business? If it's going somewhere, if you've crossed a certain line, then you can, you know, that's really the pieces that it's like, or you just hate your current process or your current solution, your current, I have people come in and they're like, everybody on the team hates this tool. It was implemented poorly. We're not trained on it. It wasn't the right fit. It's ever kludgy. Then like, if you have enough pain and then you've got a list of all the things everybody hates that you don't want to have happen again, write them all down. And there's your list.
Another question related to, do I need an IMS? A lot of people, I see a lot of sellers, especially early on, but even as they scale, they have a 3PL. I'm like, why do I need an inventory management system if I have a 3PL? Yeah. How would you answer that question?
So with the 3PL, you want to be, there are a couple of things. You want to trust but verify, or don't trust and verify your 3PL, okay? We had a seller that we got a report from their 3PL and they had 50 grand disappear off their balance sheet. It wasn't sold. And when we took the quantity of what was still in stock, it wasn't there. And it took them, he ended up buying a whole nother year worth of inventory. This was one of our clients that had one SKU, a really fun game and one SKU. So he bought enough, but he already had enough for the whole year. Okay. 3 months later and paying them, they audited their warehouse and they found a cage with all that inventory. Okay. So he almost stocked out, just barely got some product air freighted in to not be out of stock and, you know, lose the buy box and all the other challenges. Well, what if that wasn't just this big chunk where somebody moved stuff into a cage and then they lost track versus stuff either going out the back door, okay, and being stolen or damaged or whatever else, okay? So the idea is it's there. And then the other piece is if you want to track this huge asset, you need to have a purchase order process, okay? And have a lightweight, lower cost tool that you create a purchase order, that you assign the indirect cost, shipping cost to get to a landed cost, you know, customs insurance. You need to have that. It'll dynamically keep that accurate landed cost, which is the foundation of all the accurate accounting and pricing and margin and all like that's so critical. And then you can receive it. And then you can go, we should have 500 in stock. And then you download the report from the 3PL and they have 450. Okay. Or they have, well, if it's Amazon, they make up products. You send Amazon 1,000 units, they receive 1,100. And you're like, I just manufactured 1,000 of these unique things and they receive more than exist in reality. Okay. They're pulling them out of where the socks go. Like socks disappear into a dimension and they found extra of your product, which would be cool if you could make profit on it, but that's not how it works. So yeah, you want to have that to compare to validate it because things happen. Everything's going fast. There's going to be a certain amount of loss, stolen damage, and then you can adjust. And then you can tell your accountants about the adjustments and then your books are there. Because otherwise, a year of not catching these things, people get very upset at their accountants where they go, well, your inventory adjustment's $300,000. Okay. And they're like, you paid $1 million for inventory. You have this much in stock. You sold this much. We know what happened. There's this chunk of money. We don't know what happened to it. Okay. And the accountants are saying it's double entry accounting. It's right. It's reality. You need to give us more information for us to fix that. And if you don't have that, it's there. And there are some tools that are at the lower end that are affordable, let's say under $300 a month, that will give you those basics with a lot of bells and whistles that are solid for people that only have a 3PL because it makes your accounting flow better. It lets you compare the reports and keep track of what's going on.
I have a story.
It also helps with demand planning and what should you buy? What do you currently have stock? The velocity of what it's selling and a number of other things.
I have a very similar story. Brittany, my wife and business partner in Ledger Gurus, and a third partner, we bought a small brand 3 years ago. It's a Italian organic skincare product called Sole Toscana. We did, got the inventory. It was like 6 months after we bought the business, our 3PL reached out to us and said, hey, we found a crate of product, you know, it was back in some corner of the warehouse, but there is a expiration on those products. So it was all expired. Like, great. Right. So yeah, to your point, like, you know, how much do you trust your 3PL, right? They're going to make mistakes. Stuff's going to happen. And it's a way to provide accountability. Yeah. Another question, let's just kind of go around some scenarios. To ERP or not to ERP, because there's, you know, I'll just call one out. NetSuite, who's owned by Oracle, is super aggressive with marketing and they would make you think that the whole world needs NetSuite. In fact, I'll tell you a little side story. I was at an event a couple years ago, and I won't name the name of the business, but it was a CFO firm, and the partner said, any business over $2 million in revenue needs an ERP. And I was like, really? So you know, where do ERPs fit in this equation? How should somebody think about, because you've got inventory management systems that will add on to an existing accounting software. And then you have the ERP that does like everything. Yeah. Like where, how do you evaluate ERP versus more of a federated system?
Yeah. So I lean towards best of breed. Okay. A general ledger, QBO or zero, typically. There are actually others now. Okay. And an inventory management, and then a separate CRM and a separate other pieces that all integrate and then evolve, and that you can pull pieces out if the company gets bought or changes or whatever else. Okay. I help half a dozen companies move off of NetSuite last year for all the right reasons. Okay. My opinion, and has been, any business below 30 million on NetSuite is it's overkill. And I've had people that were $1.2 million businesses that were just struggling. They couldn't spend any money on marketing or product because it was all going into NetSuite. I just did a review 2 weeks ago. Okay. For NetSuite, the overhead is 40 grand a year. And for general ledger and an IMS, okay, and not even cheap, like lots of, including some manufacturing functionality, 10 grand a year, 25% of the overhead. So when do I look at them? Okay, so I collect all the requirements and we look, and do you have any specific requirements? There are things that the current IMSs just don't do, okay? But when you make the change, you're changing accounting, okay? So you're going from QuickBooks or Xero, where there are tools like A2X Accounting, which we both love, that will summarize data and post a summary data, because Xero and QuickBooks Online aren't built to take in 10,000, 5,000, 200,000 orders. It'll just slow down and it causes a lot of busy work either for yourself or your accountants. Okay. When you go to an ERP, you're now in that model. Every single order shows up as an order to be shipped. Okay. And as an individual order to be accounted for, okay, applying payments and then dealing with all the Amazon fees and everything else, it's a shift in both accounting and then it's a shift in costs. Now, whether you're looking at something like Odoo, which is, or Odoo, depending, I hear it both ways, I never pronounce any, Avalara, whatever, it's open ERP and everyone's like, oh, it's so cheap. Not necessarily. The licensing's cheaper, but it gives you a ton of functionality. So when you talk about that 300 feature on my comparison matrix, when I look at Odoo, it's yes to almost 90% of that, okay? And nobody else is anywhere close to meeting all those requirements, as long as you understand what you're getting into. You're changing your accounting, okay? Odoo's evolved over the last few years where I would avoid it. Probably 3+ years ago, 40% of the functionality was out of the box and you had to pay to have somebody customize 60% of it. Okay. In this last 3 to 6 months, digging into it, about 80+% is out of the box for an e-commerce business and the core functionality. And then you still need to customize it. But with Odoo, you have to be really careful about which, there's 100 Shopify connectors. There's not one, there's hundreds. Okay. And you have to pick the right one. So you got to pick the right one. You have to have a developer. Oh, do not let Odoo implement Odoo. They will hire somebody that was digging, literally digging ditches and put them on your account and help them set up, like almost literally. Okay. There are some amazing Odoo partners. I've got a list of them that will do a wonderful job implementing it and supporting your business. And then you need a different set of accountants. All of Steven's peers and our peers at Catching Clouds, none of them do accounting on top of Odoo. It's a different business. And it's at least 100% more expensive per month. So Udu's an option. Yeah.
You talk, this is a concept of total cost of ownership, right?
Yes.
And one of the things like you bring out that I want to highlight is like, you need somebody, because these systems don't, you know, you implement them, but you still need to update them. And you need a very expensive person who knows how to do that. Probably not full time, but you're going to pay a lot for that person. I've also found with ERPs, what took like 3 clicks in a QuickBooks or Xero is going to take 20 or 30. It's like click, click, click. So the workflow is just a lot more because there's more to do, right? There's more capabilities.
You're segmenting it out. Keep in mind, you're combining operations and accounting, and they're tightly integrated. So I've recommended Odoo for a couple clients, a more complex meat snack company that has their own co-packing plant. And they've gone through another, you know, ERP, e-commerce specific ERP that wasn't flexible enough and didn't have what they needed. And then I have another one that I compared Odoo to another major provider, and they looked and they were both close and they decided that they could, and I'm looking at a custom solution because these other ones don't have QA, QC, inbound quality control, outbound quality control. And they were, I mean, they were very close. The features were there, but it fundamentally and would never be added to the inventory management system. But what they decided was that they could go with QBO in this platform. And then if they can't either minimize or simplify their processes, I've already got a partner and a quote to build a custom solution outside of that tool that they'll pay a one-time fee and then a reasonable maintenance cost that kind of crosses it without the whole commitment to Udo. And I've only found a couple US accountants. There's only a handful of solid US implementation partners. Most of them are people in the US and then they have an international team, which totally is fine. Okay. So it just, it depends and it's a mindset and it's a commitment, change the business. And now anybody else overall, when it comes to these, my question is, both of these companies either had complex meatpacking, drawing, other functions going on. Okay. Or their own manufacturing. But if you can't, my view is always, how can you simplify your business? Okay. So instead of doing manufacturing, can you have your factory in whatever country send you finished goods and they do everything? Okay. What can you do to simplify your business? And if you truly get to the point where your business, you have a Canadian entity and a UK entity and all these other things, and you're going to look at all this expansion to your business, and you're getting to that point, my recommendation, and you're 20, 30 million, sell. Sell. It is a whole new business. If you go from a business that's growing, 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 and you need an ERP, you've now increased your overhead. So unless you have an extra 10 or 20% margin you wouldn't rather put in your bank account, you've increased the overhead of your business for complexity to get from 30 million to 70 million. Okay. But it's a different business. And then you don't realize all the overhead that you might outsource the accounting for a while. Then you hire a couple of bookkeepers. Then you hire your control. Then you hire your CFO. And all of a sudden that margin's kind of going away and you're relearning all of it. It's like starting a business over with this whole new set of technology. My recommendation is get it to that point. If you can't simplify your business or you really need to have multiple entities because of liability, because you're doing baby food or something, I would take a pause, sell the business, go do something else. Let somebody else who already has NetSuite, has these ERPs, has these bigger systems and pull it in as another brand. And then you go back down, take your core set and your best people and do another business.
Anything we've missed? I mean, obviously we could go way, way deeper here, but at a high level, anything else we've missed in terms of selecting an inventory management system?
While you're doing it, you have to implement documented, checklist-based standard operating procedures. Okay? You can't. You can't just take this thing that has 50 extra steps, because it should, okay, and expect people to do it consistently. Okay? You don't have to document everything you have today and get it all locked down before you implement this new tool. But as you implement it, you need to go through the training with your external implementer and document the steps and build them. And then for your purchase order, you don't just have a Google Doc or a Loom video off somewhere that people watched once, because 3 days later, they'll be doing it differently. Okay. You have to have a checklist that can be in Process Street and can be in Monday. It can be in ClickUp. It can be in Notion. You need to have it that has, these are the steps that make a human click on the step. It also tells you, if you have those checklists as the owner, you can go see, how many open PO checklists do I have? I have 10 open purchase order checklists. I only have one open unpaid for unreceived purchase order. Somebody's not doing the work. It's not micromanaging. And then you don't even have to talk to everybody for 3 hours every day going, did you do your job? Did you do all the things? But it will enforce consistency. It will enforce standardization. And then honestly, just you as the founder, you've hired someone to do a job. Well, guess what? They're going to be sick. They're going to go on vacation. Okay. They're going to quit and you're going to have to put somebody else in, and you're going to have to do that job for a day or a week or a month. And it's been 6 months since you did that job. And you're like, oh, I know I built it and I went through it 6 months ago. Like, what were all the steps? It just makes it so much easier for humans to step in and cover for each other. And then once you have it documented, not only is it consistent, not only do you do the extra steps for the accounting, then you can start automating those steps. Okay. And so it's just this piece, and it's like a huge commitment. If people want to stair step their business, it's not only the optimal tech stack and a good team, it's a framework like entrepreneurial operating systems. You have a business framework on how you run your business. And then the point processes, which is part of EOS, to make the business function consistently. Otherwise, you won't get anywhere near. You could get less than 50% of the value of investing in this tool that could do amazing things for your business because you're not getting the full value. So sorry, we already talked that I was going to be.
That's a good place to remind people that if this is an opportunity, not only to get better technology, but better processes. And I always tell people, like, it's a function of people, process, and technology. If you're just looking at technology to solve all your problems, you're wasting money. You have to kind of look at those other two factors to get the full value out of the technology.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anything else we missed before we wrap up?
I don't think so. And then
there's obviously a lot more details, but at a high level, I think we've covered the key points. If somebody wanted to connect with you, Scott, what's the best way for somebody to connect with you?
Yeah, you can go right to my website, scharfteck, scharfteck.com, or you can email me, scott@scharfteck.com. Ask for help. I mean, really, if you're as an entrepreneur, you don't have time to focus on this and do it well, hire somebody to help you.
Thanks for joining us today, Scott, and happy listening to those who listen to the end. So,
sounds great.
Today's episode is brought to you by Ledger Gurus, your partner in mastering cost of goods sold and inventory accounting. Do you trust your cost of goods sold number? At Ledger Gurus, we specialize in helping e-commerce businesses bridge the gap between inventory operations and accurate financials, giving you numbers you can trust so you can make data-driven decisions. Head over to ledgergurus.com and learn how we can help you take control of your inventory and numbers today. That's LEDGERGURUS.com.